Let's pray. Grant to us, Lord, we beseech you, the spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
This past week, I went to my mom and dad's house that is being sold, and I went up into the attic, which was like 120-something degrees, to get box after box after box of baseball memorabilia. When I was growing up, I loved baseball, and it probably had something to do with the combination of the cards and the chewing gum. Because now I can't really watch a game. I really, really struggle to watch the game of baseball. But I lived and I breathed baseball, and I was fascinated by the all-time greats, you know, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, and many, many more. And I remember one time I even got the courage to write Hank Aaron. But unfortunately, I didn't ever receive a response back, which was very devastating to a young child. All these guys, though, that I loved and admired made it into the Hall of Fame. They made it into the Hall of Fame. They all held different records. They played the game in different eras and for different teams. But they are considered heroes for how they played the game. They were the stuff of legend. And that's why they made it into the Hall of Fame. Well, this morning I'd like to talk about the Hall of Fame of Faith. But before we look at some of the amazing people on the wall of this Hall of Fame of Faith, before we look at the statistics of their lives, if you will, we have to talk about what faith is, according to the preacher of the book of Hebrews. The definition given in our passage this morning is not the definitive description of faith. I want to make that very clear. It's not the complete picture, if you will, but it is a rather practical and helpful one. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. What does this mean? It means that in the present, faith takes hold of God's promises for the future. It means that in the present, faith takes hold of God's promises for the future. Faith is confidence for today. Faith is assurance for the future. In other words, faith sees something that isn't even remotely close to the tangible senses. Faith sees things that the naked eye cannot see. And perhaps it was the mysterious fox in the children's classic, The Little Prince, that sums this up the best. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. What is essential is invisible to the eye. So if you'd like to follow along this morning, we'll be touring the Hall of Fame of Faith beginning at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, found on page 732. At this point in the book, the writer of Hebrews is giving us an excellent view of these Hall of Famers. And to illustrate what I mean, N.T. Wright, the biblical famous bishop and scholar, recalls a hiking experience of his in which he was given a great view of those who had gone on before him. He writes, "I had thought we were alone on the hillside. It had been misty for some of our walk, and at other times sharp little squalls of rain had spat in our faces. But we had kept going, knowing there would be some difficult climbing later on. A rocky crag, likely to be icy at this time of year, but hoping we could get through. We reached a small plateau, and as we did so, the sky cleared for a moment. As we looked ahead, we noticed quite a large party some way ahead of us. They must have been going at least a couple of hours longer than us, since they had already come to the difficult bit, and appeared to have negotiated it successfully. In fact, the last in the line were near the top of the crag, their red jackets standing out against the snow and the ice. I took out the binoculars to have a closer look. Sure enough, there were ice axes. They had discovered they needed them to get up the crag. Just as well, we had brought our own. Now we knew, looking ahead to the others, what we would be facing, what we would need to cope with it, and the fact that it was possible. They seemed, particularly those who had already made it up the crag, to be enjoying it. So it is with us as we look upon the heroes of our faith. All these people in the Hall of Fame of Faith didn't call this world their home. They were nomads. They were pilgrims in a foreign land. They looked ahead with the eyes of faith, the eyes of their hearts, and they saw the city of God, the city of the living God, even though they walked and sojourned in the city of man. So what did their faith look like as they set their eyes on the promises to come? Well, first, their faith was a very bold faith. Their faith demonstrated strong confidence in the Lord. By faith, Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than his brother Cain did. By faith, Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. And I love the next bit in our passage. The text says, "For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." It is impossible to please God without faith. Well, what about Noah? What about this guy? He built a big boat, didn't he? And he obeyed God, although a flood like that had never, ever happened before. What about Abraham and Sarah, leaving their homeland in search for another, trusting that God would give them a child, although they were considerably old? Considerably. Bold faith. Bold faith, a very, very bold faith. Confidence for today with assurance for the future. Secondly, their faith was a powerful witness. The faith revealed in their lives demonstrated persistence, sacrifice, obedience, persecution, death, and wandering about knowing that God is in charge of their lives. Contrary to the poem Invictus, we are not the masters of our fates, nor the captains of our souls. That is a lie. God is at the helm of our lives, and he calls us to step out in faith, no matter the roller coaster of experiences we might encounter in this world. You know, as we consider these Hall of Famers, we have a tendency to say that we have no place at all in their company. We think, these are the all-time greats. Look at their statistics. Look at what God did in their lives. This kind of thinking is contrary to the author's point, however. The writer of Hebrews is actually saying that we belong with these great examples of faith. We belong with them. That's quite something, isn't it? I mean, how many of us go about our daily schedule and routine thinking that we are future Hall of Famers too? Do you? I certainly don't most days. They, these Hall of Famers, and countless others have gone on before us. They are the cloud of witnesses cheering us on, encouraging and challenging us to not give up and to persevere to the very end, to the city of the living God, to see the end from the present, to see with the eyes of faith, the eyes of our heart. In 1952, Florence Chadwick attempted to swim 26 miles between Catalina Island and the California coastline. As she began to swim, on either side of her were small boats on the lookout for sharks, but also to help her in case she became injured or too exhausted to go on. Minute by minute, hour by hour, she swam, and at the 15-hour mark, a very heavy fog came in. She told her mother in one of the boats beside her she didn't think she could go on much longer. Another hour later, she gave up altogether, and sitting in the boat, she realized that she only had one more mile to go. One more. She explained that she quit because she could no longer see where she was going because of the fog. Well, she was a persistent one. 2 months later, she swam the journey again. And just as the first time, the fog came back. But this time, she had the image of the shoreline in her mind. And no amount of fog could knock that image out of her imagination. She saw with her heart. She swam through, and she reached the coastline. She accomplished her goal. For you and me, we must remember and never forget that we are not home yet. We are journeying from the city of man toward the city of God. And there's bound to come some trouble along the way. There might be family feuding. There might be tall and stormy gales. There might be a great thick and pervading fog trying to cloud your vision. There will be many things, many, many things that will try to take your eyes off the country you were made for. But remember, on your sojourn, you are not alone. You are not alone. Can you hear the saints applauding you on? Can you hear the multitudes of saints that have gone on before you, cheering you on and clapping you on? It takes faith to hear them. These are the great cloud of witnesses. These are the hall of famers of faith. And you and I belong in their company. Amen?
Amen.
And not only do we belong in this hall of fame of faith, but people also are to look to us now as examples of faith. Say what? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the life he calls us into is a life for the glory of God and for the sake of others. So as we journey toward the heavenly city, others are to look at our faith. Meaning that what the Lord has done or is doing in the lives of people is meant to inspire, encourage, and challenge others. And of course, this brings us all back to the Great Commission, which is given to who? The people of God. You and me. And what is the Great Commission? To go and make lifelong learners of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The children of God must be about the family business. Amen?
Amen.
And our Lord continues to call pilgrims in this land of our sojourn, this world, to his country and the heavenly city of the New Jerusalem. He calls pilgrims to see beyond the fog of this world, beyond all the obstacles and trials of this world. And he calls them to enter into the life of his eternal kingdom. He calls you and me to reveal the treasure of treasures. This is a kingdom responsibility. This is a responsibility for the priesthood of all believers, which is us. To reveal the treasure of all treasures, a true and a lively faith in the God who was and is to come. In Thomas A. Kempis' masterpiece, The Imitation of Christ, which is a wonderful book and I encourage you all to read, he writes, "Jesus has many who love his kingdom in heaven, but few who bear his cross. He finds many to share his feasts, but few his fasting. All desire to rejoice with him, but few are willing to suffer for his sake. Many follow Jesus to the breaking of bread, but few to the drinking of the cup of his passion. Many admire his miracles, but few follow him in the humiliation of the cross." In our gospel passage this morning, we are told that where our treasure is, there our heart will also be. Our treasure should be none other than our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. In this current world, there are many treasures that we hold on to that try to pick away ever so gently at our hearts. And the thing about treasures is that we always are looking at them, making sure that they're okay, making sure that they're clean, making sure that they're exactly where we left them and are supposed to be. Jesus calls people to a far greater treasure, a new life in him, and a new country that is more home than anywhere else we've ever known. Well, we keep the eyes of our hearts on the treasure of all treasures, all the way to the New Jerusalem, all the way to the city of the living God. May we each have a very bold faith, like those who have gone before us. May each of us have a faith of powerful witness, like those who have gone before us. May we each remember that we belong in the hall of fame of the great cloud of witnesses. And may we each remember that we too are called to be great examples of faith as we continue to trek through the many terrains and the many obstacles of this country, of this world, for that far greater country and world to come. May we see and keep on seeing through the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses. Grant us during our earthly pilgrimage to abide in their fellowship, and in our heavenly country to become partakers of their joy. Through Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.